thank you, Father, that as we come in Jesus' name, we can expect that power that can do anything to be with us. So we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to read my text first, and lest you don't know your Bible and know what it's all about, I will read from the first book of Kings, the 18th chapter, and verse 17 through 39. And I will use this 39th verse as my text. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Shall we go back to the 17th verse? And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he, that is Elijah, answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." You talk about a sacrificer and a supporter. That Jezebel was somebody. Here we have over 800 that ate at her table all the time. And old Elijah, he tries to get them all, but somehow some of them escaped. "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came in unto all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, 'I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God.' And all the people answered and said, 'It's well spoken.' And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, 'Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under.' And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they aside until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said to all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the wood of the Lord came evening. Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." Put it on resurrection ground, you see. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." Notice that you don't do something, you do it because he says so. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." I think we need to know that as well. And you take America at one time so aflame with the gospel. I have had my mother tell me, as they were raised up north of Paris, she and my father in Kentucky, they said when they first married and started housekeeping, when evening time came, you could hear people shouting and praising and thanking God all over that part of the country. That was where the great revival broke out. But then, most anyone can build an altar, and yet everything is summed up in who visits that altar. In St. Peter's at Rome, Brother Hatch, in his generosity years ago, took several of us to Rome, and we visited the Vatican, St. Peter's, and so on. And there happened to be a nun that was our guide, and she was a good guide. She really did show you around and wanted to show you around, and yet did her best to convert us to Romanism. And when we came to the Cathedral of St. Peter's, she paused and, pointing to the brilliant chair of Peter, so-called, with the old dilapidated chair, which was supposed to be his original chair. It was sitting on that gilded chair, and she dramatically said, "Well, there it is. On this rock I will build my church." She'd been showing me everything, and I'd say, do you know what impressed them? These artists to do what they did? Oh, no. Well, of course, by the time she got there, she knew that someone was teaching her the Word of God, not what Rome had told her. And so she said, there it is, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I said, well, lady, did you ever read the context? Did you ever read what was said and took place just before this? No, what did it say? Well, I said, Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say I am? Oh, they said Elijah and Jeremiah and so on, and their favorite religious person. And I said, Jesus said, but who do you say I am? That mouthy Peter, he hadn't quieted down yet. He said, you're the Christ. You're the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't find it in some school or something like that. But it was my Father that revealed this to you. And it's on this rock. You've confessed me as your Savior. And I went ahead and showed her how Jesus is called the rock throughout the Bible. And never Peter, never Peter. Peter had confessed him as his personal Savior, and he, Jesus, let's go to what Paul said. I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds upon this foundation. For other men, a foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to know who the rock is, go to the Bible. It'll tell you, and it won't tell you Peter or John or the Pope or some other great celebrity. It will tell you what the Bible always tells everybody to get acquainted with and follow, that's Jesus Christ, God's precious Son. Now, she said, oh, Brother Hatch, he heard her too, and Sister Hatch, well, now you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. Oh, I said, I thought that was right all along. I've been trying to convert you. I've just been telling you, well, who knows? We might have converted her that day, Bob. You never know. So the worth of any altar is not its size, its beauty, its elegance, its acceptance in society, its architecture, or whatever, but who accepts and visits this altar? Oh, well, they have and they do and they say, did you ever see the fire there? What would happen in Riverside Baptist out here is suddenly that thing would become ablaze. I think you'd find most of them would be like that deacon that I picked up there in Wyoming when I was going fishing one time, and Bob and J.D. and I, and we went around the corner, and there was a car turned over on its top and the wheel still spinning. A couple of guys got out of it, and we got out, and we all got together and put that thing on its wheels, and it wouldn't start, so we said, we're going on into Douglas. You want to ride with us? And, oh, yeah. I got in the back seat with him, and one of them, he began to blank, 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 and what happened here, and so on, so on. How in the so and so did this happen, and so on. I said, if you knew who you were sitting by, you wouldn't be talking like you are. He said, well, who are you? And I told him who I was. He said, my wife listens to you on the radio all the time. I'm a deacon in Riverside Baptist Church. And I said, you better not let the preacher find it out. But anyway, who knows what happened there. So while the altar of Baal and the altar of Elijah might have been somewhat alike, equally promising to the unenlightened, it was the one that God sent his fire to that solved Israel's problem. And so it is man, is never man's abilities that can solve man's problems, but it's the flame element that comes to his problem. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17 says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, or in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we see this statement, the just shall live by faith, in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews, and I won't take time to explain how that is. And so, precious heart, I want you to note the gospel's purpose is in this text I've read. It's first man's salvation. Its availability is to everyone that believes. Its universality is to Jew and Gentile. Its character is a revelation, not reason. Its contents is God's righteousness, and its operation is a progressive thing. It's from faith to faith. And Paul said it is not of works, lest any man should boast. But he said you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. He said it's the gift of God. And you and I need to realize that apart from this flame element, nothing in this world can live. And only Christianity can provide and turn a cold altar into a place of living fire. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, was the claim of Jesus Christ. And most of you, if you're born again, you found that out. And you wonder why our politicians and the world is buckling in and beginning to denounce Jesus. They don't denounce God because they don't know God. But you see, they don't forbid you to talk about God or teach about God as long as you don't take them through the only door, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Jesus is that way. Jesus is the life.
He is the truth. No man can come to Father. You can get up and pray one of your great flowery prayers at a convention or a gathering of some kind, one of the games of chance, and you can't charm God. Don't be stupid. Your words are abomination to him if you don't come to him in the name of his Son. Oh, precious heart. So when we build our little heap of stones, only the Lord can consummate the erection with a hallowed flame. This is the essential, the element of inspiration, and make the place his place of a dwelling. He's here this morning. Because we came to him in Jesus' name. We're here to tell you nothing of man other than his need of salvation. Now, such is true of men. Let's take two men and any walk of life. Let them be, for an example, like Luke 18, where we see the Pharisee and the poor publican. The Pharisee stood high in society, but he prayed thus with himself. He says, God, I thank thee, I am not as other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. The publican stood afar off, and he would not even so much as lift up his eyes, but he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what the Savior said? He said, that publican went down justified instead of the Pharisee. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I think Paul robbed me when he said, of whom I'm chief. I think I'm pretty close to the chief, if not the chief. Oh, my kids went back and visited their uncles who were farmers out north of Kansas City. And they came back and said, Mama, is it so about our daddy what our uncles told us? I shot one of them. He crossed me. Why did you shoot him, Brother Hill? Well, he just rubbed me the wrong way. I wouldn't turn around like the cat. I was determined I'd be like I was. So he crossed me, and I just up with a shotgun and shot him. He said, I'm not going to leave you in suspense. I didn't kill him, thank God. But, dear ones, there are many people that have many problems, man. Facts of matter, all that's wrong with this old world, we're the fault of it. Adam did it. And when Adam got a son like me, I was just like him. And all of the heartache and all of the trouble and all the division and all of the poverty and all of the wars and all of these things that are detestable to us in a sense, we're responsible for it. But then there are houses. Oh, listen, precious hearts. There is in this town one house that has been priced at over $9 million. I saw that because it went up for sale about a year ago. I don't know whether there is another person so foolish as to buy it or not. a house, millions of dollars. You know, I see people that have got good, comfortable homes, but instead of honoring God, they build a bigger house. One of these days you're going to find out you put your money on the wrong house. Jesus said, I am going to go away. And you know, I'm going to work on your house, D.E., about 2,000 years. Don't be surprised, because you've never seen, heard, or tasted or had anything like that place that I'm going to build for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. Imagine. Oh, I hear old Michael say, Lord, let me go get him. He's heading out. Stand aside, Michael. I promised him I'd come and get him. One day there'll be a trump and I'll just zoom. I'll be drawn to him. Did you ever get a real strong magnet and put it down there in some shavings of steel? Zoom! That's the way that's going to be. That's a fact, son. And I know you're going to be there because you told me you wanted to be there. And I think you made the steps to be there. Well, anyway, here we are. And there's a house. You know, Jesus, he was on his way. And he came to a cemetery. And there was a fella that cried out. And he said, don't come and torment me before my time. Jesus said, you come out of it. You know, that fellow, people were afraid to come by. He dwelt in the tombs and he'd kill you, he'd rob you, he'd do whatever. And they tried to bind him and they couldn't bind him. And he said, Lord, I'll follow you. He said, you go back to that house. You've got a family there. I see him coming up to the gate. Oh, little girl comes running in. Mama, Daddy's coming. Oh, how many of these fathers get a hold of drink and dope, and they have the ability to make a child, but they don't have the wherewith to take care of it. The woman said, well, go hide, honey, go hide. And I'll try to calm him down. Oh, he comes in and he calls her in that tone of voice that he gave when he first proposed. Oh, darling, don't be afraid. Where's my little girl? Oh, she's afraid of you. Oh, honey, I met Jesus out there. And he has taken care of me. I don't have those awful evil thoughts anymore. And can you imagine what a marriage they had from that day on? Oh, I'll tell you, there's homes that are filled with money, fine furniture, fine everything, fine. Not just one bathroom and one, and yet maybe just him and her, maybe just him, I don't know, or maybe just her. But they've got 8 or 10 or 12 bedrooms. That many baths. Couldn't use them if they lived 50 million years. You know, precious hearts, in reality, that's just like a wolf's den. where they come in and lick their chops and their sores that they've encountered out there and tried to get enough rest to go out and do it again. Do you ever see, do you remember what was his name that had this asbestos king? Do you remember him? That fella, the last time I saw him, he was about 57 years old and he looked, well, I hope I look better than that. Dissipation had ruined him. He'd been married 9 times. Think about it. Jesus can, if you'll just let him, if you'll just say yes, if you'll just humble yourself, if you've got a home like that, he'll take care of it. Oh, yes. And as my dear old mother, I've told you how the last time I walked up on her and she was singing. She was sitting in that little old humble house trying to save a little money to give her kids when she died. And she was singing, "A tent or a cottage, why should I care?" Well, she's over there. So precious hearts, he not only fixes up the individual, he fixes up. You may just have a house, build it any way you want to, pour thousands and thousands and thousands. All the times I've watched money destroy people. Money seems to never help the new man much, but he sure gets that old man going. You get to think, counting your strength by some dollars. He's not going to tell me what to do. God don't care how much money you have, he just cares what's got you. And recognize that. But I'm going to cut this short. I could go on about the nation. I could go on about a lot of things and tell you that with Jesus, it can be, you see, a house is not a home. The New Testament says much about homes, little about houses. What makes a home? I'll tell you what makes a home, his presence. He brings it life. He brings it love. He brings it joy. He brings it peace. He brings it hope. That stretches not just down 50 years or 75 years. He brings that place that the road never runs out. You can get on that road and it's forever. Forever with him. And he puts truth in a home. Not some, you're not running according to what the Republicans think or the Democrats think or the freelancers think. You're running according. Oh, God, help you. Jesus said one day, and you know, he might have been watching one of them little old burros. You remember Bob over there? I think it was the East Gate, and that kid was sitting on that old donkey. Yeah, Jesus must have seen one of them poor little old donkeys pressed down and struggling down the dust-filled road. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." That's the gift of God. Every child of God's got that. But then he added a little to it. And it probably hits you and me. "Take my yoke upon you." take my yoke upon you. Have you done that yet? For I am meek and lowly. And you'll find, now I've given you rest, but you'll find rest. Do you know where you're going to find rest? It isn't going to be in that $10,000 bed in that room so elegant. That isn't where you find it. You find it when you take the cross. Yeah. You shall find rest for your soul. I go home some nights and I guess I got a right to say this. I'm getting old. But I'm like that old fire horse that gets to going in me. And I said, I can't stop. Can't stop. There's people out there that need what I know. They told me up at the camp, oh, if we could, and that was them Baptist, Kev. We wish we were her, you could go to church. I said, you ought to go down there. There's a lot of people, they come in that church, and they hear a few sermons, and they get up and walk out. I'm not going to stay tied to that kind of thing. Precious heart to listen. You're not going to get me to compromise by the grace of God. Listen, I'll tell you the truth because I won't have to change my message when I get over there with him. You may not like it. And I repeat it over and over and over and over. Sure I do. Yeah. Well, I'm going to close it. I don't blame you getting falling asleep. I just don't want you to be disrespectful to the truth. Everybody gets sleepy. My kids grew up on the pews. That's right. They grew up on the pews, and that's the reason you see them yet. Well, I'd just like to say this. There's an old man in this Bible, and he wrote some letters. One of them, he said, the love of Christ constrains us. And there is no answer apart from Christ. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And a true service has to be because of him. And we love him because he first loved us. And out of that love he manifests for us springs all the beautiful ministries which seek the good of others. I got a card in there, and it was on here this morning. I don't know who dropped it by. It was signed by all the people from Kansas City. And it is out of his love we bear the sweet fruits of forever. What fruit are you going to bear? Paul in his dungeon shows us it isn't the place, it isn't the house, it isn't the furniture, it isn't the car you drive, and these things. God retired him in a dungeon. Can you imagine? No, you can't imagine. You can't imagine. I'll tell you, the prison cells of most criminals today would have been a palace to Paul. The filth, the vermin, no ingress, no egress, but a hole up there in the top of that thing like a cistern. there he was. And I imagine he had to turn off his senses. But they couldn't hide Philippians from him and Ephesians from him. Did you know that's where he got the inspiration to write these top letters that we love so well? I've given the book of Philippians and the book of Ephesians until some of my best saints want to get up and walk out on me when I mention it again. You know why? It's because they didn't believe it the first time they heard it. Well, such is true of individuals, homes, nations, and churches. So, let me say with those people back there, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. What do you think about it?
Amen.
What do you think about it? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're so thankful. How could you be so good? There just aren't words, and you know it. What's in my heart for you, there's no word to express it. Just thank you for that precious son that I've learned to feed on. And will learn to feed on forever. Thank you. I'm complete in him. Scott, come up here and sing us a song.
381 in the red book.
You have an invitation. If you haven't turned things over to Jesus Christ, why don't you come and do it today? Let's stand, and you have the invitation to come.